have plenty of white guys on stage in Louisville. Not to say that the next great talent might be another white dude.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if we don't put more diverse talent on stage, the audiences might either go somewhere else to see it or just not discover it at all.
From Louisville Public Media, this is Five Things, the show that tells a life story through the objects we treasure. I'm Tara Anderson. This week, it's a quick update from one of our previous guests who's had some big changes in his life since we first spoke. Ben Salee is a Louisville-based musician who's known for putting his primary instrument, the cello, on the back of his bike and going on tour that way. He spent years building a career that's taken him all over the country and the world, writing and performing original music. He's also a dedicated collaborator with other artists, including theater companies and ballet troupes, and his strong interest in environmental issues and social justice has seen him participating in all sorts of activities. He was my guest on Five Things in September of 2017, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that. He was thinking at that point about making some big changes in his life. If you've seen him riding a Bird scooter around 4th Street lately, we're about to tell you why. We started off talking about his baby girl, who was close to making her debut the last time we talked.
Baby Clara May is now a year old, and she is super charming and amazing. She speaks now mostly in grunts. She is using some of her first words, da-da, and cat-cat, and things like that. So yeah, she's super dear, super dear. She's a very engaged young lady.
Uh-huh.
She's very busy.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Important things to do.
Very much so, yeah. And she needs our help.
Right now.
Right now.
Right this second.
With
I don't care
thing,
what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Mm-hmm. How has it been making the transition to a family of four? When I went from one child to two, it was like, oh my God, my brain is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What has that been like for you?
Yeah, I feel like that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. I think generally, but specifically to our case, it's interesting because my son is 10 years older. So he's in a place where he has certainly grown up as a single child,
mm-hmm.
and he will always be a single child. Mm-hmm. There's no changing that. But I think he's come to appreciate the other side of parenting, being able to view it as an audience member sometimes,
mm-hmm.
because it's hard to find the capacity, their interests, and what entertains them and engages them is so different.
Yeah.
But the things that are on the Venn diagram that cross over of what entertains and engages them are really sweet things. You
and
know?
What are some of those things?
Animals. We have a household full of animals.
Uh-huh.
We have two cats and a dog and, you know, hissing cockroaches and all sorts of stuff. So they both love the animals at the house, and so they're happy to cuddle with kitty cats and, you know, bark with dogs and all that.
Aww. So also in preparation for your daughter's arrival, at that time you were talking about, like, maybe I'll go find a job,
mm-hmm.
like a J-O-B, not a touring musician kind of job. So
yes.
Often
misunderstood. Touring musicians, it is a job.
Heck yeah.
You know, you have to prep the tours and book the dates and
mm-hmm.
all that jazz. And then, of course, show up and play the shows
mm-hmm.
all over the place. Which, of course, is not what any of my high school girlfriend's parents thought. They were like, so what do you do for work?
Right.
That's a job.
Uh-huh.
That makes money. And I'm like, I play music.
Yeah.
So anyhow, yes, I was exploring that option deeply for all the reasons that we mentioned in,
mm-hmm.
in the interview, but also just to try to see what happens if I take all this energy I've been spreading around the world and focus it
mm-hmm.
into my community here. And the job that I ended up landing in was at a marketing agency downtown called Bissig Impact Group. And I'm associate creative director and lead storyteller
there,
which is a pretty cool title.
It's nice to have that word on your business card.
Storyteller,
mm-hmm.
I think so. And it's fitting from all the things that I did on stage and especially the things I did off stage
mm-hmm.
and helping develop, you know, scripts and produce videos and mess around making virtual reality apps and all that stuff. It's very informative and very applicable to where the marketing world's going,
mm-hmm.
which is not, we have the best product, go, 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 sell it to everybody. It's more, what's the audience looking for and how can we help them find it?
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a lot of corporate responsibility work and helping tell impact stories around that. So that's pretty fulfilling to the social part of me. And then, of course, I still get to make a lot of sound and music for the company. And also being home has allowed me to take on a lot more film and TV, making music for movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing a lot of that. Currently, I'm scoring a podcast you might be interested in.
Oh, well.
Uh-huh. I know. Scoring podcasts is something I've always wanted to do, but outside of sending somebody music that already existed and saying, hey, yeah, do something with this,
yeah,
it hasn't come to fruition. But now it has. It's a podcast called Hell and Gone, which is a serial murder mystery style podcast. That one's really fun. I get to make all kinds of creepy noises.
Yeah.
Stuff You Should Know Network is making it.
So are you actually like an in-house composer at the marketing agency? Is that part of what you do?
So far, I haven't had the chance to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping that I'll be able to do some more of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been experimenting with making audio icons, which is a little bit less like composing and more like designing. But that's kind of fun.
An audio icon. Tell me what that is.
I think so. When I say Intel Inside, the sound that you hear in your head is...
Do, 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 do.
When I say Macintosh, the sound in your head is...
Oh, it's that startup sound of the computer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So those are audio icons.
Uh-huh.
And that sort of sonic branding is something
mm-hmm.
that's interesting in the world that's certainly got a lot of screens in it, but also people are... busy and more mobile than they've ever been. So audio is a good place for that. As you know,
mm-hmm.
you make audio.
Mm-hmm. It's not a full-on jingle.
No. It's
just a tiny little thumbprint.
It's often no longer than 3 or 4 seconds.
What's your daily life like now that you're getting up and going to an office every day? Have you ever done that before on a regular basis?
No. I mean, in college, I worked in a shipping department at a factory.
Uh-huh.
Not even in college. That was like between senior year of high school and freshman year
uh-huh.
in college. Like, that's the closest I've come to walking into a building, working 8 hours, and walking out.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a first in many ways. It's really cool. So I get up in the morning, usually around 5-ish,
mm-hmm.
and I do some of my Ben Soli musician work and get kind of prepared for the day. And then usually Clara wakes up around 6:30. And so I hang out with her. That's my really great hangout time while Oliver and Caitlin are still doing a little bit more sleeping, and we have a lot of fun. And then I get Oliver up sometime just before 7 and get him ready and out the door to school. And then I head downtown. I drive my Honda Element down there and head into the office and just stay super engaged and creative. I mean, my days are often full of everything from script writing to, you know, audio production and sometimes going on location and making videos and directing those. That's really exciting. And then I usually wrap up around 5:30 or 6 and then, you know, either pick Oliver up from Louisville Leopards practice or head back home and get everybody put to bed. And that's when I start my scoring hours.
Oof.
So usually I'm scoring somewhere between 9 p.m. and 1.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but that's the part of life that I'm in, I think.
Yeah.
It'll balance itself out. I mean, I started working at BISIG Impact Group back in June, and, you know, I still had a lot of touring that mm-hmm. I had on the books, so that didn't really settle out until September.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard. Touring and full-time job is really challenging.
Yeah.
That's really, really challenging.
Do you think you'll be doing that again at some point?
Not in the traditional sense.
Mm-hmm.
Micro tours, residencies,
mm-hmm.
those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just talking with an organization that I work with in India that I've done some tours with and talking about doing a residency there again.
Right.
You know, and like, how can that pair with storytelling here
mm-hmm.
is an interesting question. But closer by, I mean, yeah, totally. Do a weekend run through Chicago and Madison, Wisconsin and Indianapolis. Totally.
You know, I wonder if somebody learned that one of their favorite musicians took like a regular full-time job, they would think, oh my God, have they given up
mm-hmm.
on music, or are they still going to be the artist that I grew to love? It looks to me from where I sit that you are absolutely still in the creative mode. Mm-hmm. You're just finding a different way to make it work for you in the time of life you're in. Does that sound right?
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, the creative mode that I'm in now is better balanced from a pay standpoint than than what I did in the past, which was all in service of selling tickets to shows,
right?
Or selling CDs. I can't say it was all in service of that because I just loved making stuff too. But I wouldn't get paid necessarily to make a video campaign around Oxfam America and their gifts program around the holidays and making music for that and helping them with that. I wouldn't get paid for that. That was just something that I did because it helped me tell a story to my audience about something that I cared about that hopefully connected to things that they care about, all that stuff.
Right.
But now I can use that energy, that creative energy that I was just literally pouring out the window as I was driving down the life of being a touring musician and put that in a place. And so it has some value. Mm-hmm. And then I can still make a lot of music. I'm making more music than I've ever made. Mm. It's just that it's a lot of it is, again, in service of other things.
Yeah.
And I'm also taking a lot of my experience and ideas and energy and trying to pour them into some new talent here in Louisville. And that's been something that's super rewarding that I've been messing around with. Not really managing, more being like an artist advocate, because I feel like there's a huge opportunity here in Louisville to help talent get over that first little hump of making something really cool to making people aware of that cool thing that you're doing. So I'm helping three artists right now. I'm helping out Scott T. Smith, amazing young songwriter who's moved to town. I yanked on his chain from Hurricane, West Virginia, where he grew up. He actually lived in my house for a while just to make the transition work. But now he's having great success and just played Winter Wednesday last night.
Yeah, he's got a gorgeous voice.
He has a gorgeous voice and a really sweet personality. And I look forward to getting his new record done. I'm helping produce that. There's another young artist named Z Lin that I'm trying to help and create show opportunities for her and creative ideas and just give advice. And then there's a young beatboxer named Raul who I ran into. He was busking on the street near 4th Street Live. And he is the most incredible beatboxing talent. And when I thought of beatboxing, it's since changed. I thought of just beats, right?
Yeah.
But this is something so much broader. He's doing bass lines and melodies and just like, he sounds like a synthesizer, a percussion ensemble, and then sometimes a acapella vocal at the same time.
Wow.
All of it's happening. It's really incredible. I'll show you a video.
Yeah.
It's really super duper special.
Huh. So what's that like for you then to be in that kind of mentor role?
It feels really good. And certainly it's a nice challenge because a lot of the ideas that I had in my career worked for me. Right. So a lot of the ideas that I have about, you know, brightly colored shows that are really infused with world percussion, that's not a Ben Solis show. I mean, it's informed by that stuff, but it wasn't really because I'm not going to like dress in a really crazy, outrageous outfit and dance around on stage and put that party on. That's not what I've come up to be. And it's not who I'm going to be in my audience. I'd probably feel really weird if I showed up in a crop top and started playing. Started playing electric guitar or something like that. Those ideas came through my mind, but what to do with them?
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to help these young artists out and help them develop and connect with their communities. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I'm excited about is like, okay, here's the thing that you do, and you've got this community of people that are out there that we can see through social media and everything that love the kind of stuff that you do, but they don't know who you are yet. And it's just about connecting dots. Mm-hmm. And that feels really good because that feels like it's happening on a community level. And I feel like that's where I'm excited to put my energy here in Louisville is continuing connecting those dots because there's a lot of talent here, as you know, and there's a lot of opportunities. It's just about connecting those, whether it's through the organizations like in the arts organizations, the Ballet, Fund for the Arts, or it's through businesses that want to do something really creative and fun, but gosh, how to do it and who to do it with. So that's where my head is at, and I really enjoy that. I mean, being a producer is the thing that I've done. I've produced for theater and ballet. I've produced for virtual reality, and I've produced for, obviously, music and TV and film, but that's never been my title because I've always been part of the talent. At some point, I had walked on stage and was part of it, and it feels good to not necessarily have to walk on stage, but to still feel that good work
yeah.
in the artists that are going on stage.
Yeah.
Because to be frank, we have plenty of white guys on stage in Louisville.
We do, and for sure.
Not to say that there's, you know, the next great talent might be another white dude.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if we don't put more diverse talent on stage, the audiences might either go somewhere else to see it or just not discover it at all.
Yeah.
And that would be really sad to have such amazing talent in Louisville just feel like, gosh, I can't live here because no one will give me a chance.
Has there been anything that has surprised you about making this big shift in your working life?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of functional stuff.
Yeah.
And just trying to figure out how to balance that with my own story and career.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I bristle when people are like, had a baby and got a real job.
Yeah.
Because that's what my parents did.
Uh-huh.
Right? Both my parents were super talented musicians.
Mm.
And the baby came along and they both set down their careers and they regretted it. And the net result after some 40 odd years was that they divorced and were estranged because they didn't have anything really binding them outside of kids.
Yeah.
Because they'd set all that down. And I promised myself long ago that I'd never do that. So I bristle when people say, oh, you have a baby. Like, no, that's definitely not why, because I toured for the first almost 11 years of my son's life.
Yeah.
So that's not really it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also bristle when people say, oh, you got tired of the road, huh? I'm like, no, the road, I've always had a little bit of a, like, I've always had a conflict with my touring career.
Uh-huh.
Because I love going and playing music, but I couldn't square that with the environmental costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the driving tour vans and flying around the country yeah. and the world is like, it's a big carbon footprint, carbon wake that I've left in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have the money to properly offset that in the way that it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just more and more had trouble justifying burning up all these resources to do what? Play music? I can do that here in Louisville. And I'm just dissatisfied. It doesn't need to be in front of a Bonnaroo crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. I get the same satisfaction about playing a show down at Odeon in front of a small crowd, or even playing living room shows. I get the same reward out of it because it's a social exchange.
Yeah.
You know, I tried bicycle tours to lessen my impact. I tried micro residencies, and I've tried intentional tour routing so that I'm not, you know, shoelacing my way around the country.
Uh-huh.
And all of it, just at the end of the day, when you're dealing with management and booking and labels and all that stuff, they have a mission. But they also are a business, and like, you got to go out there and make that money. And I get it. I totally get it. That's just not where I want to spend my next few decades.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference between, like, somebody says, oh, you got tired of it, like you weren't up to it, you couldn't hack it, or saying, this is just not the way that I want to spend my time. I mean, to walk away from something intentionally and say, mm-hmm. this isn't working for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, totally. And that's what it is. And that's what I try to express in the most compassionate way. Is like, no, I know exactly what it would take for me to take my career to the next level. That's just not where I want to put my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important thing to recognize, because I've seen a lot of musicians who think that they can still do both, right? You can still have your really warm, engaged family, and you can be on the road 250 dates a year, 200 dates a year. No, I don't think that's real. That's a story that someone told you or is still telling you, or you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to do those two things. And I would say, from my personal experience, not really possible. Like, it was always a juggling act. I was putting a lot of attention to my family, and then that ball goes up in the air, and there's a lot of attention into the artistic output.
Right, right.
That ball goes in the air. There's a lot of attention on just physically being gone on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you just keep juggling them. And juggling is a very different activity than balancing.
That it is. That's perfect. Thanks for coming back in to give us an update.
Yeah, my pleasure. Well, hopefully we'll just keep updating.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks again to Ben Solee for checking in with us. Our show was produced, edited, and mixed by me, with editing oversight from Laura Ellis. Our theme music is by Alex Wright. You can get more information on our show at WFPL.org. We'll be back in 2 weeks with an all-new full episode. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss it. As always, thanks for listening.